I think we have learned a lot about how it spreads, specifically that it does not appear to spread on what we call fomites, or essentially objects, as much as it spreads just by talking and singing and being in a space together. And so I think that that's kind of been the biggest thing that we've learned, as well as the degree of kind of asymptomatic, mildly symptomatic, or pre-symptomatic people, and how they can be incredibly contagious early on in the disease process. I think a lot of that was very unknown early on in the outbreak. I think the other thing that's been really just striking to me about this disease is the way that it affects so many different organs. I think when we first thought about this disease, we were thinking of it much more like influenza or some of the other common colds that cause respiratory issues for the most part and lung damage. But because of the way it enters the cells, it appears to affect the gut, the kidney, the brain, cause these kind of small microclots and really challenge the immune system.
Do you feel like the public perception and knowledge of this virus has kept up with the changing science?
Yes and no. I mean, I some days am amazed at the depth and detail that some members of the public are involved in the research and data and science and what's been coming out.
I think that there is a lot of misinformation that happens on social media and other groups. It's been sad for me to see our mistrust in our centers of higher learning and education, in trusted resources like the CDC, for many people is no longer a trusted resource. And I think that there is a ton of just amazing information that they put out that is very science-based and very, very useful. And I can understand why people are frustrated by it, but when they then choose to follow information or misinterpret information that's out there. I think the other thing that I'm always reminded of is, you know, part of what we learn in med school and in public health school is how to interpret science and data. And I oftentimes see, particularly in social media, where without that background and training of how to interpret a study, it gets misinterpreted and then shared widely. I think it's really easy to see the things that we want to see in the data. So I think that the misinformation out there has led to a lot more frustration amongst the public, and angst and uncertainty, and choices that then put them and their communities at higher risk. And then I see people get sick and die and be hospitalized for extended periods of time. And that to me is the sad part. It's more important to me that people are healthy and well than they understand exactly the reasons behind it. And when I see misinformation resulting in people getting sick, that's another system that is failing individual Alaskans.
Is there one thing, or maybe a couple things, that you wish that the public would understand better about the coronavirus?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's just some basics that even so many months in that still go unheard or unmet and not understood. So a couple big ones. One, the fact that infection and illness can be two different things. And so you can have the virus that causes COVID, SARS-CoV-2, and you can spread it to others without getting ill or out getting significantly ill. And that's not unique to COVID. We, you know, 95% of people who got polio had no initial symptoms. Yet when there was enough of it spreading around, you had entire hospital floors filled with kids with iron lungs. And so understanding if you have the infection to see it, to make sure you don't spread it to others, is an important tool, even if you don't get ill. I think a couple of the things about this disease that are hard are the incubation period. The time it takes from exposure until symptoms start is really long. It's longer than a lot of the other diseases, and that's 14 days. And people can start to show symptoms anywhere from day 2 to day 14. That there's no test-based strategy to kind of get you out of quarantine or to say you definitely don't have it. So I see that misperception or misconception come up a lot. I think another misconception I see a lot is the fact that this disease is highly contagious even before someone gets symptoms. And that's different than a lot of other diseases. So influenza and SARS and most other diseases are most contagious when you're most ill. But this one's different. You're very contagious prior to getting symptoms. And so that makes it really hard as an individual to know when you should or shouldn't stay away from others. And so I think just instinctually, that's very hard as humans to know I feel healthy, but I might be making other people sick. It just kind of goes against our natural instincts. But that's what the data is showing on this. I think it's been one of the reasons it's been so hard to control. I think another thing is that masks work. The data is just really clear on it now that they work not only to prevent you from spreading it to others, but they can also prevent you from getting it to the same degree.
Speaking of the flu, we had heard, you know, about the 1918 flu, that there was the second wave that hit in the fall. And as we are kind of in fall, heading into winter, what are your biggest concerns about a possible second wave, I guess, of the virus?
This fall could be hard. People are over COVID. They're fatigued. We still have a lot of virus circulating. You know, we're still seeing a fairly high numbers across the state. And we go indoors when fall comes. And we socialize in indoor places when fall and winter come. And we know that this virus spreads more easily when people are socializing inside, particularly when they're not wearing a mask. So bars, restaurants, and we continue to see those being the driving force of a lot of our biggest outbreaks right now in Alaska. We are getting closer. I think that that's the hard thing for me to sometimes convey as much as I would like to. We have so much more testing ability now than we used to. We are getting more antigen tests. We have more treatment options. There's 6 vaccines in phase 3 trial. Like, we are getting close, but really what we do between now and really the end of the year is gonna determine how this pandemic plays out in this state. And if we are going to maintain having the lowest death per capita in the country and be able to get through this, looking back and saying, man, that was a pain and really frustrating and really awful, but at least my mom didn't die, or at least I didn't know a bunch of people who passed away, like has happening in many, many other parts of the country. But if we throw up our hands and give up, it could be a really, really hard fall in many different ways. So I am concerned that, you know, it's darkest before dawn and we are getting close, but we need Alaskans to hang in there this fall.